Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
You mean Mormons?
No! We're not the M-word. We're the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Don't call me the M-word. This is Wretched Radio. The Mormons seem to be on a campaign to erase the name that is actually taken from the cover of their non-divinely inspired book, the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon. Mormons didn't used to have a problem with that moniker, but now they do. And this is not the only church the Mormon Church has been making recently. They did not formerly like to be called Christians. They were the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a.k.a. Mormons, but don't call them Christians. Well, now they want to be called Christians. In fact, they're about a hair's breadth away from wanting to be called Evangelicals, although that might have too much baggage these days. Why the change? It is because the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is savvy. Go ahead, go Googling for a religious anything. Most likely, I've researched this, most likely, that is the definitive statistic, most likely it'll be the LDS that pops up first. Go to YouTube, go look for a classic hymn. Guess who will pop up first? That's right, the M-word tabernacle. Why? They are excellent at SEO. That would be your search engine optimization, where you have a staff of people who make sure that words are included in the description. So when people go looking for something, yours is more likely to pop up first. Furthermore, you can pay to play. You can pay to have your stuff pop up a sponsored item. They are excellent at getting in front of the eyeballs of people because they are desiring to go more mainstream than historically they have. Historically, America has deemed them a cult. Today, they want to be esteemed as Christians. An article from the St. Louis, Salt Lake, St. Paul, oh, they're all pretty much the same. Headline, LDS leader Russell Nelson and the church's love-hate relationship with the Mormon term. The president and prophet, this is Russell Nelson. He's going to be turning 100 soon, hoping to arrive at his own planet, apparently, is one of the individuals who has led the charge in rebranding Mormonism. That's the term right there. You rebrand. I'm learning something about that. We're in the process of doing that, too. The point is, Russell Nelson, at the age of 100, has been really a key player in making sure that Mormons are not esteemed as a cult from the article. The name Mormon comes from the title of the Book of Mormon. That is their faith's signature, please note this word, scripture. That's very, very important. Why? Because Glenn Beck recently appeared with Tucker Carlson at one of his 16 national events. He's touring the country, talking to very interesting people. And Glenn Beck was one of those folks. Glenn Beck sat down, similar to Russell Brand, without his shoes and his legs crossed. I don't know who started that trend, but Glenn Beck was talking regularly about reading the scriptures. Didn't talk about reading the Bible, reading the scriptures. And almost everybody that was there, I'm sure, massive audiences at these Tucker events. Yay, he mentioned scriptures. Hold on, Christian. Scriptures mean something different to the Mormons. They have more than the Bible. They have the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price. They hold other books as being scripture too. Glenn Beck then went on to participate in what Russell Nelson and others have been desiring to do now for years, and that is to encourage all of us that, hey, we Mormons, we're a little different than you, but hey, we're all on the same team. Right? Wrong. Before we visit Glenn Beck, encouraging all of us to get together and sing Kumbaya, would like to share with you, it's rather lengthy, and it was banned, I don't know by whom. Mormon Church does not like this video. It appeared 40, 50 years ago?
40, I think, yes.
Yeah, I was reminded of that Gabe Hughes of, what? Tweeted this out, texted X, whatever you do these days, and sharing it to say the Mormons, they hate this video. They denounce it as being propaganda, but they will never explain what's wrong with what's contained in this cartoon.
Mormonism teaches that trillions of planets scattered throughout the cosmos are ruled by countless gods who once were human like us. They say that long ago on one of these planets, to an unidentified god and one of his goddess wives, a spirit child named Elohim was conceived. This spirit child was later born to human parents who gave him a physical body. Through obedience to Mormon teaching and death and resurrection, he proved himself worthy and was elevated to godhood as his father before him. Mormons believe that Elohim is their heavenly father and that he lives with his many goddess wives on a planet near a mysterious star called Korah. Here, the god of Mormonism and his wives, through endless celestial sex, produced billions of spirit children. To decide their destiny, the head of the Mormon gods called a great heavenly council meeting. Both of Elohim's eldest sons were there, Lucifer and his brother Jesus. A plan was presented to build planet Earth, where the spirit children would be sent to take on mortal bodies and learn good from evil. Lucifer stood and made his bid for becoming savior of this new world. Wanting the glory for himself, he planned to force everyone to become gods. Opposing the idea, the Mormon Jesus suggested giving man his freedom of choice, as on other planets. The vote that followed approved the proposal of the Mormon Jesus, who would become savior of the planet Earth. Enraged, Lucifer cunningly convinced one-third of the spirits destined for Earth to fight with him in revolt. Thus, Lucifer became the devil and his followers the demons. Sent to this world, they would forever be denied bodies of flesh and bone. Those who remained neutral in the battle were cursed to be born with black skin. This is the Mormon explanation for the Negro race. The spirits that fought most valiantly against Lucifer would be born into Mormon families on planet Earth. These would be the lighter-skinned people, or white and delightsome, as the Book of Mormon describes them. Early Mormon prophets taught that Elohim and one of his goddess wives came to Earth as Adam and Eve to start the human race. Thousands of years later, Elohim, in human form once again, journeyed to planet Earth from Starbase Korah to have physical relations with the Virgin Mary in order to provide Jesus with a physical body. One of the Mormon apostles taught that after Jesus Christ grew to manhood, he took at least three wives, Mary, Martha, and Mary Magdalene. Through these wives, the Mormon Jesus supposedly fathered a number of children before he was crucified. Mormon founder Joseph Smith is supposedly one of his descendants. According to the Book of Mormon, after his resurrection, Jesus came to the Americas to preach to the Indians, who the Mormons believe are really Israelites. Thus, the Jesus of Mormonism established his church in the Americas as he had in Palestine.
There's a battle going on, if you didn't catch that.
By the year 421 AD, the dark-skinned Indian Israelites, known as Lamanites, had destroyed all of the white Nephites in a number of great battles. The Nephites' records were supposedly written on golden plates and buried by Moroni, the last living Nephite in the hill Cumorah. 1,400 years later, a young treasure seeker named Joseph Smith, who was known for his tall tales, claimed to have uncovered these same gold plates near his home in upstate New York. He is now honored by Mormons as a prophet because he claimed to have had visions from the spirit world in which he was commanded to organize the Mormon church because all Christian creeds were an abomination.
That includes you and me. Don't have time to share the whole polygamy business, which the church ultimately outlawed in 1890, but that gives you a taste of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It didn't even touch on the issue of salvation. Are we saved by Jesus plus or just by Jesus? Is it grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, or is it more? Well, the answer to that is Mormonism is a works-based system. And the goal for you is to get yourself to the celestial city so that you can be with your family for eternity and potentially be your own God on your own planet or something like that. With that as our backdrop, Glenn Beck, next on Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched Store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies.
Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's a public relations campaign raging, and the leader, Glenn Beck. This is Wretched Radio. Mormons now for several decades have been making a concerted effort to rebrand and re-image. Why? Well, their image ain't been that good for various reasons, not merely theological, but their issue about polygamy, their issue about their attitude toward black people. Was it, Jimmy, do a Google on this if you'd be so kind. When did the Mormon Church finally say that black people could be members? I want to say 1970-something, but if you could Google that, that's just one of the issues that caused most of America to say, no, that's not Christian. Let me share with you some statistics from the Salt Lake Trib talking about the 100th birthday of Russell Nelson, who was the president and prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. By 1991, public opinion of Mormons had fallen dramatically, 37% of Americans viewing them unfavorably. Leaders decided that another rebrand was in order. That's what they do. They're chameleon-like because it is not an exclusively biblical form of Christianity. It needs to change with the times. The Salt Lake City Olympics in 2002 pushed Mormonism into the national spotlight. Same year, the church launched its major website, Mormon.org, with stories and headlines liberally using the term Mormon. We're not using that word anymore. A media campaign followed a decade later, so now we're up to 2012, featuring prominent members declaring, "I am a Mormon." I remember that. There were just different people who were Mormons who would make commercials for them. Ordinary members were then encouraged to upload their own I Am Mormon profiles to this website and share them on their own social media accounts. In other words, it was cool to be Mormon, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Shh, we're changing, we're downplaying that. Yeah, that word is on the cover of one of our extra biblical books, but we just discovered that it doesn't poll well. So we're going to downplay it now. Mitt Romney's Republican nomination for the 2012 presidential election and the popularity of the satirical Book of Mormon musical pushed Mormons again into the national spotlight. In 2014, the church produced a documentary titled Meet the Mormons, shown in theaters around the country, to explain and show people what we're really like. And they are not done. Glenn Beck is a Mormon. And Glenn Beck, for years, has been trying to bring, along with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormonism into the mainstream. In fact, it just, Jimmy, if I say Glenn Beck, red phone, does that make any sense to you?
No.
Probably not. This goes back this far. It must be, 15 years ago, on the set of Wretched TV, I had a red phone because we would send emails to Glenn saying, hey, if you'd like to talk about Mormonism and Christianity, here's the number. And the red phone never rang because he didn't want to talk about it, probably didn't even know about it. The point is, for at least 15 years, he's increasingly been trying to make himself sound Christian, just like everybody else. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of Christians that'll go onto his program and never identify the distinctives between us. They're not little things. These are essential things. That Jesus is not a created being. He's the divine, eternal Son of God. We are saved by grace alone, faith alone, not by grace plus works. The Mormon Church is outside of Christian orthodoxy. Glenn Beck, the highest profile, probably, I guess unless Donnie and Marie are still performing, probably the highest profile Mormon, recently appearing on the Tucker Carlson Show. He's talking about the battle against society and the crumbling of marriage, gender issues, etc. And he's basically trying to make the case, hey, we as Christians, a title that heretofore the Mormon Church rejected, we as Christians, we got to join with anybody. And we got to stop this theological bickering. And here's why.
I don't think the Lord is checking what church you go to.
That's interesting.
I don't think he's looking for your, you know, church card punched every Sunday.
Methinks he is.
I don't think he's looking for anything.
I think he's looking for those people to worship him in spirit and in truth. God loves those with a contrite heart, with a broken spirit. Those are the ones in whom God delights. But Glenn Beck is going to try to make the case. Hey, let's forget about any sort of theological distinctions, like proper Christology or soteriology. Why? Apparently, there are more important things at stake these days. There are some bigger issues than theological precision.
At this point, he is looking for his children who know the difference between right and wrong and pedophilia and will stand up against it. I applaud gays against groomers.
Glenn Beck making the case we should partner with everybody, but in doing so, blurring distinctives. And Glenn has gotten away with this for far too long. So has the Mormon Church. This is not something that we should relish and enjoy. Oh, good. Those people that don't have church buildings just like ours and don't put a cross on top. Good. They're outside of orthodoxy. This doesn't make us happy at all. We want to win these people to the Lord. We want them to have real joy, to experience shalom because they know that it is well with their soul, because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died to forgive them of all of their sins and grant them everlasting life. With assurance, Glenn Beck is encouraging people to chill when it comes to these distinctions because we got bigger issues like pedophilia to deal with. Look, that's a big deal. The whole trans thing, that's a big deal. But theology is a bigger deal. You say, that didn't hit my ear right. What is the most important thing in the universe? Well, that, of course, is God himself, the right God, and understanding him rightly. And that means any misrepresentation of him is the greatest crime we can commit. That is why when you consider the fate of these false teachers, we have a tendency to think, oh, it'll be those the perverts. They're really going to get it. Oh, they're going to get it. But the false teacher even more so, because the greatest crime is to blaspheme God, meaning we don't just OMG, we speak wrongly about him. We teach incorrect things about him. Glenn Beck is trying to encourage us to just lay down our denominational arms so that we can link and join in the societal battle to make America more moral again.
We can disagree about all kinds of stuff. The Lord needs all of us to stand up. Stop dividing yourself.
Nope. Not going to do it because theology is more important than, let me think of, everything.
I sit with evangelicals, and I love evangelicals.
He shouldn't. If he's hanging with evangelicals and they are not sharing with him the truth, he should not say make that sentence.
Love going to other people's churches because I think it's funny because we're all arguing, and I'm sitting in the back, and I'm like, you have no idea. We're all saying the same thing.
No, no, we're not.
You know, in many ways.
No, not even close. But
Christians. I'm a Mormon, so we're the Jews of Christians.
I have no idea what that means. You're not. It's an apostate expression of Christianity.
Wait, can I, just so I can set the scene in my mind, do you sneak in other people's churches on Sunday? Like, how does this work?
Oh, I am always watching, Tucker.
No, and sometimes I'm invited to go speak, and I love it. I just love it.
And those churches have either not studied what Mormonism is, or they just don't care themselves. You cannot invite a Mormon into your church to preach from the pulpit and to deceive. I'm sure that Glenn has been about, I don't listen to his program, but I'll bet he's on about this regularly because he does like to talk about God. The problem is his God doesn't exist. Not only do Mormons believe that Jesus is a created being, so is the Father. And your goal in life is to become divine so that you can have a planet and your own spirit babies. And a Mormon might kick and scream and say, hey, foul, that's not what we believe. Tell me. Then tell me exactly where that's wrong. Because that is what your extra biblical literature teaches. I know we feel the pressure to be kind and nice. And I would certainly be gracious to Glenn Beck. But I would love him enough to tell him the truth. I'm sorry. You can try to erase the name Mormon, but the reality is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is not a Christian church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. 17 state financial officers are urging major pharmacies to ignore calls from New York City officials to start offering Mifepristone. These GOP officials are arguing that selling Mifepristone would alienate customers and amount to political activism, and I would have to agree. Meanwhile, in New York City, Comptroller Brad Lander is pushing retailers to offer Mifepristone, noting the city's pension funds have about $1.3 billion invested in these companies. Yeah, well, congratulations to the Comptroller for his understanding of fiduciary responsibility. Using your pension funds as leverage for controversial medications to be sold to fit your ideological bend, that's not responsible at all. That's blackmail of the most despicable kind. And in the state of Ohio, a federal court has ruled that compelling speech is still, in fact, compelling speech, even when it comes to pronouns. The judge, Pamela Barker, found that Jackson Local School District violated a substitute teacher's First Amendment rights when they forced her to resign for not using students' preferred pronouns. The substitute, who cited her religious beliefs, declined to use the pronouns contrary to students' biological sex, because biology is still biology. School offered workarounds like avoiding pronouns altogether, but the substitute wasn't buying it. She resigned the same day. The Family Research Council praised the ruling, saying, quote, teachers should not face compelled speech in favor of one ideological perspective which violates their deeply held religious beliefs. Vice President Kamala Harris seems to have a peculiar vision for, well, just about everything that she has a vision for, but especially immigration policy. According to a campaign questionnaire filled out in 2019, then-Senator Harris pledged to use taxpayer money to fund sex change surgeries for illegal aliens in detention because crossing the border illegally is to be rewarded, right? She also indicated support for decriminalizing federal drug possession and making drastic cuts to immigration and customs enforcement. Yeah, her campaign now claims that her positions have been shaped by 3 years of effective governance as part of the Biden-Harris administration. I'll let you try to figure out which part of the last 3 years has been effective. In Cameron, Missouri, parents are fighting an uphill battle to keep sexually explicit books out of school libraries. One local parent reports they've identified about 200 books with graphic sexual content, including descriptions of rape, incest, and homosexual acts. Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey, that's what I call education. Meanwhile, the American Library Association, the American Liberal Library Association, opposes any meaningful limits on children's access to adult material. Think about what I just said. They oppose limits on children's access to adult material. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. First and Second Chronicles traces God's unfolding plan from Adam through the Babylonian captivity. When you wonder what God is doing in the world, Chronicles shows us this pattern. He is calling a people to himself, placing them under the rule of his king, and preparing them for worship. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
News. stuff. This is Wretched Radio. Although, Jimmy, you will be so pleased with me.
Oh.
We're singing a contemporary worship song this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. I can't remember the name of it, but it's really good. And it was actually written after like 1990.
Oh,
I think that's about when I stopped listening to contemporary Christian worship. Speaking of contemporary Christian worship music, as long as I brought up the subject, there's an article in, oh, here it is right here. Look at that. Want to write a hit worship song? Invite a few friends to church. Jimmy, while I'm sharing this, would you please, Matt Boswell and Matt Papa, I think, wrote the worship song. Would you look for the stuff that they've done? Their stuff is pretty fine, and we're going to be singing a contemporary song because we can be hip, current, and relevant too, don't you know? If it's theologically sound, if it's singable, we'll sing it in our church. It's just that so many of the great theologically rich hymns, they have a tendency to be over 100 years old. And this article actually explains why. Want to write a hit worship song? Invite a few friends to church. What? It goes on to describe these writing sessions. As somebody who wants to be a worship singer, typically from the big four churches, Elevation, Bethel, Hillsong, Passion City, they've dominated the top 25 lists for Christian Copyright Licensing International and Praise Charts, which track what songs are played in churches. They dominate. How do they write these songs? They get together and they just kind of try to knock them out. And I would ask the question in that group, if you want to write a song as a group, I don't see any biblical problem with that, but I do see a problem with not having any sort of theological acumen to do so. These are musicians. And you need a musician. Historically, a theologian, a pastor, would write the lyrics, and then a musician would simply add the music. Today, it's musicians doing both. And that's why this particular article mentions a song that was on the top charts for a long time. It appeared in May 2023. It's called Praise. It's an Elevation song. It's viewed 103 million times. It's topped the Billboard Hot Christian Music chart for 25 weeks. Zoinks, Scoob. And it's won a Dove Award from the Gospel Music Association. And it was written by a group of people, including Stephen Furtick, who's a theologian, just a bad one. Thought I would share with you the lyrics. In fact, I was looking at, if you ever go to hymnary.org to try to find lyrics to hymns, down below, they'll have a little bio about the individual who wrote the lyrics, because the individual who wrote the lyrics and the music, almost always a different individual. And I think it was Isaac Watts. The dude who wrote, hundreds of hymns, and so many of them remain. Not all of his stuff was catchy, but many of them we still sing these days. He was a brilliant theologian. He was like the king's choice for being like the best theologian, sending him to Oxford. He's the reason that those songs are so profound. Here's a song that was written by a group of musicians. Let's clap, one, two, hey, oh, yeah. Good start. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You got it. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can't go wrong with that because that's biblical. Let everything, hey, that has breath, hey, praise the Lord, hey, praise the Lord. Now listen to the pronouns. There's nothing wrong in a song about mentioning us and how we are so blessed. Nothing wrong with that. But if the focus is always just first person, personal pronouns, where it's all about I, me, my, and it's not talking about the one who's providing all of these good things, well, then you got yourself a worship song that isn't. You've got a man-centered song. Listen to this. Now, it sounds okay, but listen to the pronouns. I'll praise in the valley. I'll praise on the mountain. Yeah. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. Yes, sir. Can you use the word yes anymore? Is that all praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded, cause praise in the water, my enemies drown in. Have you heard anything about God yet? They're singing about praising. Why? To whom are we giving this praise? Why do we offer this praise? What has motivated this praise? What is the information I need to join you? I'll praise when out. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Well, we haven't been given a reason yet, have we? Oh, my soul, come on, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, hey, I have not heard a single thing that causes me to go, I want to shout to the Lord too. Although that's a Hillsong song. The point is, there's nothing here that informs my brain, better yet, mind, about God that causes me to praise. This is just singing about, I want to praise the Lord without any reason to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, come on. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, hey. I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise because I know you're still in control. Okay, there you go. There's my first little nugget about God. Because my praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. Oh, my praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Come on, oh my soul. So I'm going to praise the Lord, oh my soul. This is contemporary worship. Sounds Christian, doesn't it? It seems appropriate. Do we not want to praise the Lord? But this song isn't about praising the Lord. It's singing about me praising the Lord. It's off point is what it is. And it goes on and on and on. In fairness, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. All right, there's a truth about God. So how could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Come on, let me see that dance. Put a dance on it tonight. If you're grateful, come on.
Something like that. Yeah.
All right. Now here's another line. I'll praise because you're sovereign. Good. I'll praise because you reign. Better. Praise because you rose and defeated the grave. Okay, that's what we're singing about. We shouldn't be singing about singing. We should be singing about what God has done. This is contemporary worship music. This is, and the reason is we don't have theologians writing music anymore. We have musicians. Jimmy, did you find out the info?
There are lots of songs they've done together.
What, like?
Well, they've done Come Ye Sinners, Lord Have Mercy for What We Have Done, Lord From Sorrows Deep I Call, Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery.
That's an excellent song.
Mm-hmm. His Mercy is More.
That's it, right there. Click on that one.
Ooh, okay.
His Mercy is More. All right, let's just hear the difference in the lyrics here. Now, I have to confess, I don't know about the theological background of these guys either. But this is just a different type of worship song. You got it, Jimmy?
I do.
All right, hit it, Hal.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn.
Okay, right. Hold on right there. Praise the Lord. Okay, it's rather than saying, I'll praise the Lord, it's, hey, praise the Lord. And here's why. Keep going.
Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more.
That's a reason to praise the Lord.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done.
Mm.
Omniscient, all-knowing. He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more.
That's good stuff.
Mm.
That causes me to sing. Mm. What was that? That God doesn't keep, his love doesn't keep track of the sum of my sins?
Yeah.
Isn't that a good thing? And yet, even though He has record of them because He knows and He doesn't forget. He doesn't bring them up. He doesn't hold them against. And His love is unwavering. It never dips. It's not like the stock market. Well, He's in a pretty good mood with you today. You've earned His pleasure and His favor today. No, because we're in Christ. It is constant, even when we do sin. Now, that is a truth worth singing about. That is something that causes our heart to soar. too often these days with contemporary worship music because they've abandoned the intellect, made the focus us. They have to emote people into thinking that they're doing worship when sadly, so often, they're not. Jimmy, that was a really good church news segment right there. This is Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever wonder how many souls could be reached if Christians truly lived out the Great Commission? Well, at Wretched, we're not just wondering, we're acting. Through culturally compelling, biblically sound productions, we're reaching millions with the life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, we can't do this alone. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just keeping the lights on around here, which we do appreciate. You're helping us illuminate dark corners of the world with the truth of God's word. Your support helps us produce programs like Transformed, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Radio, Wretched TV, and a lot of other exciting things coming real soon. Plus, with 83% of every dollar going directly to ministry, your gift goes further than you might think. So why not join us? If you're giving to your local church already and you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt, we would love for you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Details right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God, salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And take two. Church news. If Jimmy doesn't interrupt. Feeds the soul, doesn't it? This is Wretched Radio. Let's get to church news, shall we? Hey, speaking of the Mormons, polyamorists look for their place in church as the practice loses its taboo. Huh. From Religion News. Religion News is reporting. Religion News is it's about religion. There is no filter. It's just anything they think is religious, they will go ahead and print it. polyamorous, looking for a place in the church because its practice is losing its taboo? I'm not so sure that it is, but there is a subculture that is probably growing because we are casting off Christian mores. We are rejecting God's ways as the best ways. And that is a message, and that is a refrain. I really think we could learn from the Democrats. Yeah, I said that. Let me explain that. Did you watch the debate? If nothing else, Kamala Harris repeated the themes. Same old same. We're not going back. We're going into the future. We're not going to let him take us back. That we're going to be on the right side of history. We're going forward. They're a threat to democracy. All of those, why are those themes, why is that mantra one that everybody seems to know? Because they repeat it over and over again. And one of the mantras I believe the Christians should be repeating over and over again is that God has a better way to live. Now, I'm not talking about evangelism. I'm just talking about conversations. God has a better way for us to live. Okay. Not going to get distracted. These are the church news stories. These are a group of stories in my left hand that made me sad, that reveal to us that people's bodies are they're not happy. I'm not talking about the inner man. I'm even talking about their body. They're, people just aren't happy because we're doing things our way. We're doing things the way that bring some temporary pleasure to us, but they don't bring satisfaction. And one of the statistics in here was about syphilis. Now they've created a home test. It's such a rampant disease that they've now created a home test. And I just go, well, isn't that, oh, that's so convenient. We're supposed to, oh, isn't that good that we've invented that so you don't always have to run to the doctor to get tested? How's about we stop using our technology to cover sin? That we stop using these human advancements in order to go about the business of abusing our bodies? Aren't we seeing that in the trans movement? That we are using science and medicine to abuse the human body and to simply, what they do to these people. It is criminal. This is Mengele-like, what we're doing to people. And it's not just kids, it's adults too. Why do we do this? It is a super low anthropology, but it is simultaneously a very high anthropology, a very high individualistic anthropology. So maybe better phrased this way. It's a low anthropology and a high view of individualism. We're monkeys. We're no better than dogs. We can do whatever we want to our bodies, but you get to do anything you want because it's you, and the autonomous self reigns. Those two worldviews are so bad for people. And the message to these polyamorous, this is so bad for them. And they don't even, they think that, oh, it's making me so happy. It can't make you happy. It can't do it. Because sin never satisfies in the long run. Your idol, it will disappoint you each and every time, from the article in Religion News, who is doing this push for polyamory inside of the church. Be prepared to not be shocked. The Episcopal Church Task Force submitted two resolutions intended to, listen to these keywords, generate discussion of diverse family and household structures in the church. In 2023, another shocker, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada's Court of Appeal declined to suspend a minister in a polyamorous relationship because its bylaws didn't explicitly prohibit it. I suspect your bylaws don't prohibit a lot of things, but I'll bet you would have big issues with them if it were something, I don't know, biblical and conservative. Months later, Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada delegates voted to create national resources to support conversations that include ethical non-monogamous relationships. That is always the beginning of the slippery slope. We see that with the role of women in the church. Can't we just talk about it? Can't we just have a discussion? Feminism, complementarianism. Let's just do a study and talk about it. Let's have some conversations. Critical race theory. Let's have conversations about it. What is it? It's an effort to talk people to death and to ultimately try to persuade them that you're wrong if you're trying to be biblical. It's always about conversations. Page 2, I kid you not, the first word is conversations about polyamory have begun too in the Unitarian Universalism Church, whatever that is. It's not good. It's got two unis, so you know it's trouble. The denomination-sponsored sexuality education program, includes a workshop for parents about polyamory. That curriculum has also been used by members of the United Church of Christ, whose Open and Affirming Coalition is hosting a workshop on polyamory at its national gathering in late September of this year. The United Church of Canada. Here's what one pastrix said. The Bible doesn't offer one cohesive model for Christian families.
Oh, okay.
So that whole repeated theme of mother and father, a man and a woman cleaving to one another, for leaving their parents, forming their own little covenant union, making babies, that's unclear. All of the families that we see in the Bible, how's about the instructions in Ephesians 6 given to parents and children? This is utter nut. We don't see one cohesive model for Christian families. What a joke. What a joke. Headline from Christian Post, fewer churchgoers giving more to cover church expenses as pastors contend with inflation. It's from the Hartford Institute. It turns out, according to this organization, churches are actually doing okay right now when it comes to money. But historically, this is always a bad sign for a church or a nonprofit organization, a parachurch ministry, probably even a business. When you have fewer giving more, that is far more precarious. It is healthier for churches that more people are giving what they can instead of relying on a few who perhaps have more but are willing to give more. The problem is, let's say you've got a church of average church is actually 60 people in this country, but let's just say we're dealing with 100 people in a church, and two or three of them are really giving a major portion of the donations. If one of those families go, that church going to feel it real bad. So this really is not great news that churches are not currently struggling financially, because we know a lot of people are struggling financially. A lot of people, it's really hard these days. Who doesn't see these prices? I know that God has blessed some people who don't have to concern themselves with those things, but I would say 99% of us do, and it's being reflected in the church. What should you do with this type of information? I would encourage you to take a look at your finances and ask, what could we be doing for the church? Now, if you have a lot of funds, cool. You do your accounting. But if you're not giving to your local church, your heart isn't going to be as connected to your local church, and your local church is probably in more danger. And you will find joy. You're going to love your local church more, because where you give, that is where your heart tends to follow. Be a giver to your local church. Participate in the life of your church. To get emotional benefits from going to church, believers must attend regularly, says a study from the Journal for the Scientific Study of Religion. Regular weekend church attendance leads to an increase in positive emotions and a decrease in negative ones. Jimmy, I hope you don't have a feather in there, because you could knock me over with it. Of course you do better when you go to church regularly. Problem, fewer than 50% of Americans hold formal memberships at a church. More Protestant churches are closing than opening nationwide. Are you a member of your local church? If not, find the best local church you can, join it, and start supporting it financially. Not if you have unmanaged debt, but if you have funds and you're not giving them to kingdom work in any way, shape, or form, the place to start is with the local church.
We actually got through church news without being distracted
much. Until tomorrow, Go serve your king.